February 15, 2015, something happened in the world that we heard about, but only this last few days did we discover the bodies of the people who were connected to the story. It was a story of martyrs who had literally said, I'm not going to reject the reality of Jesus in my life. I stand for him no matter what. And these Coptic Christians from Egypt were working in Libya at the time. And while working in there, they were captured by ISIS, and being captured by ISIS, they were all given the same platform. They were all placed on the platform, on the ground, by the water, on their knees. And they were all given the same privilege and opportunity. Each one of them was given the opportunity to be able to reject Jesus, to walk away from what their faith was all about. And it's interesting because each one of them, all 20 of the 21, had long time lived their lives in faith in Christ. They had no choice and no willingness to want to reject what it is that anchored their life in. And so, as a result, they all lined up there. And if you saw pictures of this, you probably realized that before all of the gruesome betrayal of these lives and the innocent lives shed blood, they're all lined up there, but there's one young man on the end of that line who just happened to be captured. He was from the country of Chad. He was not a believer. He had no idea what it meant to believe in Jesus. No one had ever told him. No one had ever anchored his life in the truth. But as a result, the bridge gets built, and he watches. He's number 21 in the line, and he's watching as each one of them are asked one single question. Will you reject Jesus Christ? Will you reject him? The first person lined up, they ask him, will you reject Jesus? And it's interesting, they all said the same thing except number 21. The first 20, when they asked, will you reject Jesus? They looked at the martyr, the person who was about to cut their head off, the executioner. They looked into their eyes and they said, Lord Jesus Christ. And they cut their head off. Now you can imagine for Michael Ayerge, who was sitting on number 21, he was watching. Do you reject? No, we don't. Do you reject? No, we don't. 20 people in that line. Then they came to number 21, which is where we find ourselves today, making a choice to build a bridge of hope that changes our lives forever. And so what happens is number 21, laying beside him are 20 dead bodies, 20 people who have no life left. And he is there with on his knees and looking up in the eyes of his captor, and the captor says to him, will you reject Jesus? He looks at them and says, I choose their God instead of your God. And he lost his life. He gave his heart to Christ in a moment, made the right choice, and went into martyrdom. And as I read his story from Michael, he saw something. On one side was the brutality of religion. On the other side was the amazing inspiration of true faith. Can you imagine? I want to ask you a question today when you think about your own life. When you think about the bridge to hope God has for you, is it possible that he also is lining you up to ask you the question, will you reject me or will you follow me? Will you accept what I have for you or will you miss what I have for you? And today we look at a passage of scripture that is one of the most grace-filled moments in all the Bible, because it's in Exodus that we see something. If you have your Bible, open to Exodus 35. As you're opening there, I want you to get set in motion what happens here. The people have obviously missed the target of what God's intent was. Because in the previous chapters, what happens to them is they build the wrong bridge. They build a golden calf thinking that's the answer to find what it is God has for them. And listen carefully. We all build our calves if we're not careful. We all select things that are less than his best for our life, and we let them become our calf. I've seen people who worship more their car than their Savior. I've seen people who looked at life based in terms that are their terms, that are God's term. And I'm going to tell you, the people of God, here's what happened. They have been granted the privilege to come close to God. And what they say is, we don't want that. We want instead our way. So while Moses is doing his thing, connected to God's purpose, yielded to God's plan, what happened to them? They get together and they connive their own plan. Listen carefully. We don't have to connive a new plan for God's great plan. God's great plan is very clear. We take the mandate of the Great Commission and we live it out in our lives. We say to our hearts and lives, whatever it is, I will not reject you. I choose their God, like Michael said, and I follow that. And so what happens is they get themselves in big trouble with God. And I don't know if you're like this, but I don't mind being in trouble with some people, but I don't really like the idea of being in trouble with God. Do you? I mean, think about it. You get in trouble with Him, you got big problems. And they last a long time. I mean, you don't just get time out, okay? You get a big challenge before you. And what happens is, all of a sudden, they get put in that place. But then God shows back up. God shows back up. And what happens is you discover it, and you really discover it all the way into that chapter 34, because He shows back up. In fact, if you look at 34, verse 5, just for a moment, obviously the Ten Commandments are being replaced by God because He wants them, He wants those things to be lived out in our lives, which, by the way, if you take them off the walls, you take them out of the heart, you take them out of the heart, you leave the country awry. And what happens here is all of a sudden they come back. And in verse 5, look at what happens. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him, and he called upon the name of the Lord. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. Here is Moses. He knows they're in big trouble. It's the same thing happened to you the first time you went to the principal's office. You remember it well, don't you? I do. Second grade. And that girl who told on me, I hope she goes to heaven, because I was chasing her. I was chasing her on a playground, and she ran straight to the principal and said, "That boy's chasing me." And back in that day, you were reminded of your sins in a very visible way at school. And so I can remember thinking, okay, you know what? I get called to the principal office, it's not going to be good. And I'm going to tell you what happens to the people of God. They get called to the principal's office, and it's not good until His grace shows up. And here's what I want you to see. We live in a day where it is dark enough that any light we cast will make a difference. Any light we share will make a difference. All we have to do is look at our lives and say, this is what I want to accomplish. So look on over, and I want to show you something in chapter 35. And I want you to follow me quickly today, because I want to cover a lot of ground very quickly, but I want you to kind of see what happens. Notice, if you would, beginning in verse 20. All right, now, you got the setting for the story, okay? And what God says is, I want everybody to do what they're supposed to do. Which, by the way, the key to all of life is everyone doing what they're supposed to do. If everyone did exactly what they're supposed to do, watch this carefully, we would conquer all the things that come at us. We would accept the challenges God has for us. We'd awaken to what it is He wants to do in us, and we would experience life the way we never dreamed possible. And so He brings them together and says, I want you to do exactly what I ask you to do. In fact, in verse 20, notice what happened. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel departed from Moses' presence. Everyone whose heart stirred him, notice these words, everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him came and brought the Lord's contribution for the work of the tent of the meeting and for all its service and for the holy garment. Then all, watch this, all whose hearts moved them, both men and women, came, brought brooches and earrings and rings and bracelets and articles of gold. So did every man who presented an offering of gold to the Lord. Now look on over, verse 25. All the skillful women spun with their hands and brought with what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet material and fine linen. And notice this, verse 26, and all the women whose hearts stirred with a skill spun the goat's hair. Verse 29, the Israelites, all the men and women whose hearts moved them to bring material for all the work which the Lord had commanded through Moses to be done, brought a freewill offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all craftsmanship. Look on down, verse 34. He has also put in his heart to teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Semelech, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and a designer and a broider in blue and in purple and scarlet material and every fine linen and weaver as performers of every work and makers of design. Verse 1, chapter 36. Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him to come to the work to perform it. Now, I want you to get this in your head, because here's what happens. All of a sudden, God says, if you are willing and your heart is stirred and you are moved and you are called, I'm going to do something great. Can you imagine how motivated the women and men were? And the reason I point this out to you, the men and the women all had assignments. And in life, we all have assignments to accomplish when it comes to His mission, when it comes to building that bridge of hope. And what happens if all of a sudden we begin to ask ourselves the most penetrating question? What does hope look like to you? You see, it doesn't matter what it looks like to me. You have to look at what it's like to you. Because if hope looks precious to you, if hope looks powerful to you, if hope has meaning and purpose, what happened? All of a sudden, we're elevated and to realize we're living a life of hope. Let me tell you what you discover. People are looking for those who live in the blessed hope of who Jesus is. When they see joy in your heart, when they see your heart radiant for what God's up to. Let me tell you what's interesting. When you look at this text, Moses, when he'd been with God so long, his face would glow. And he had to put a veil over his face in order for the people to focus on the mission. Now, obviously, my face probably will never glow. But I'm going to tell you, the face of God does glow when we obey him and accomplish what he intends. So here's this story. And all of a sudden, they start thinking, wait a minute now. We can do whatever he's asked us to do. And I love the fact that he uses key action word, stirred, moved, called. Think about what happens in your life if all of a sudden you get it. And it's interesting, by the way. The math is simple. There are four distinctive things that happen here that all simultaneously set in motion them building a bridge to hope. And it's my prayer that as we think about our own life, it doesn't matter what age we are, but it doesn't matter what condition our heart is. Because if our hearts are fixed on him, we start saying, Lord, what do you want to do through me? How do you want to accomplish something through my life? And what happens is you get on fire for him and it begins to change who you are. So think about this. How does hope arrive? I mean, you got to think about that because if we don't let it arrive, we'll never get there. And I'm going to tell you, when hope arrives, three things happen that are powerful and very meaningful. The first thing is this. We learn how to follow his plan. We learn how to follow his plan. Let me tell you what happened. He awakens our hearts to what he wants to do. And I'm going to tell you what's really cool. When he begins to speak to your heart, you know it. Which, by the way, it's interesting. The flesh says, deny your responsibility. The spirit says, accept it. The flesh says, you can't measure up. The spirit says, I'm the one who's adequate. The reality is what happens to each one of us. We just have to look inside of our own hearts and say, Lord, what do you want to do? What is your plan for me? I'm going to tell you what I love. I love the fact that we have a chance to engage our lives from small groups every Sunday morning to worship on Sunday morning to being involved in different mission ministries to being involved in accomplishing what God intends. But you have to look at his plan. The second thing is this. It doesn't just awaken our hearts to what he has to do for us, but he challenges us to submit to the Spirit. Because if you look at chapter 35 there in verse 5, notice what he said. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord, whoever is of a willing heart. In other words, here's what he was saying. He knew the pathway to awaken their hope, to awaken their direction, to awaken their meaning in life. And I'm going to tell you what he knew. If they held on to something, they would not hold on to him. If they held on to what it is that they wanted, they would not experience what he wanted. And I'll tell you, in life, it happens so clearly. We get caught up in something, and we begin to think, man, I'm hanging on to that. And all of a sudden realize, you know what? That's not worth hanging on to. What's worth hanging on to is the hope of looking inside the eyes of someone who's looking for an answer. Say what? Jesus is the answer. Listen carefully. The world cries out to know Jesus. The world cries out to understand who he is. Look all over the world. People are looking for an answer. Go and hold children somewhere in a school here or in a school there, in a place here or a place there, across the street, around the world. And here's what you discover. When you learn how to submit to his spirit, I'm telling you what happens to you. You get sensitized to what matters in life. And what happens actually is you all of a sudden, you start thinking, you know what, I'm going to accept my assignment. I know what he wants to do through me. I know what he wants to accomplish through me. Listen carefully. I said it last week. I'll say it again this week. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. And that's exactly what Lucado said. No one can do all. No one can do everything in the world. We can't do everything in the world. We are called on to accomplish what he intends. Now, by the way, if we all get our marching orders from God, we build a bigger bridge. We build that bridge and hope arrives in an amazing, powerful way. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. When you accept your assignment, you eliminate excuses and you begin to experience the Spirit of God. When you eliminate those excuses, you say, you know what? I'm not going to let that get in my way. I'm not going to let this get, this is not going to hold me back. And you start engaging in it and say, Lord, I want to experience you. What happens to you? All of a sudden, your life gets on fire for what matters. You begin to experience what he intends. And I'm going to tell you, when you let hope arrive, it begins to work that way. A third thing you see is when you learn how to let hope arrive in your life, you not just submit yourself to his spirit and follow his plan, but you learn how to lift Jesus up. And I'm going to tell you what I've discovered. When you lift him up, something begins to happen inside of you. Watch this. A critical spirit becomes a complimentary spirit. A person who has been out of focus, all of a sudden has laser focus. A person who's struggling to figure out what they're supposed to do in life, all of a sudden, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to do now. And listen carefully. Oftentimes, people get confused. People get confused. Well, the only way to express the Great Commission is for me to go somewhere far away in the world and do something. No, that's not the issue. The issue is, it begins with yourself looking in your own eyes and doing just like Michael Ayega did. Making the confession in your own heart and life, their God is my God. I choose their God. I'm going to tell you, when you think about that, think about the power. Can you imagine, I'm going to ask you a question, whether that executioner is still alive or not, can you fathom what he had to sleep with that night? He had to sleep with the reality that a man had been captured who was not even a part of the Coptic Christian church. He was not a part of any of that, but he'd been captured. They lined him up with them, and instead of him saying, no, I want to take a walk on this, I want to ask you a question. If you were facing the same circumstance, what would you do? I mean, would you acknowledge that he is Lord of all? Or would you say, no, he's only Lord sometime? And by the way, most of us probably will not be lined up with a sword over our head. But I'm going to tell you something. Every day we're lined up with the sword of God's word. And it has to speak to our hearts and lives. We have to follow it. We have to yield to it. I want to ask you, what would happen if the Bible became real to it? What would happen if our lives were transformed? I'm going to tell you what you discovered. The bridge to hope begins in our hearts, extends across the street, and goes all over the world. That's what the bridge to hope does. And so I want to look at this passage. I want you to kind of see what happens. Because today, very quickly, I want you to see four distinctive glimpses into hope. All right? Because, watch this. What did the tabernacle represent? It represented his presence in their life. It represented God being there. And listen carefully, when you pray, you want to know he hears you. When you find yourself yielded to him, you want to know he's working in your life. And I'm going to tell you what happened for the people. They knew something. They needed a place to call home. They needed a place to anchor their hearts. They needed to be able to say, Lord, I have what you have for me. I yield to it. I trust you to do something in my life. I want to ask you, what would happen if all of us were moved, all of us were stirred, all of us were called, all of us were filled? I'll tell you what happened. We changed the world person by person, building a bridge of hope to every life. And my prayer is, as we think about our own story, we think about our own life, I want you to think about this text, because you may have never looked at it in light of what really was transpiring. But I want you to think about this. God said to them, if you do this way, and you follow my instructions exactly, you will have the blessing of God on your life. But if you choose to walk away, if you choose to say, oh, no, not me. I'm not going to go that far. I'm not going to take that step. I'm not going to move that way. What happens? All of a sudden, you open up missing the best of life. And so what happens here is they're all called, and every person has a different gift. Every person has a different talent. But there are two very distinctive men identified that God does something tremendously amazing in their life. We're going to look at their life in just a moment. So think about this. In this text, there are four distinctive words, all right? Easy to get a hold of because it's very easy to see. I want to point each one of them out to you, wrap it all together, and then challenge you to ask yourself a question. Will you get on a bridge? Will you get on a bridge and experience what God intends for you? Which, by the way, he's the only one who builds a great bridge. He's the only one who sets in motion a great life. And I'm going to tell you, it may be you're here and you've been hampered by somebody else's opinion, hampered by some life circumstance, hampered by some pain in the past, and all of a sudden you come to church and go, wait a minute now, I can get on a bridge that will take me to hope? Yes, you can. That's what happened to the people here. And I tell you, Moses led them in such an amazing and strategic way, but it was God instructing. Listen carefully. When it comes to who we are, when it comes to what we're about, when it comes to what we're supposed to accomplish in life, it will not be some man. It will be God who leads us. It will be God who calls us. It'll be God who fills us. It'll be God who moves us. That's what happens here. And what happens is they get their lives changed forever. The first thing I want you to see, I want you to see four things. I don't want you to miss these because they're going to be quick and fast, but very key. All right? The first thing I want you to see, you find it in verse 35. And notice, if you would, he has filled, he has stirred, he has moved, verse 21 of chapter 35. Verse 21, look at it if you would. Everyone whose heart stirred him. Now stop and think about this for a second. What was it that stirred them? They were stirred beyond words. And listen carefully. You can hear the greatest sermons on earth, but if your heart is not stirred, if it's not applied, if it doesn't become a part of who you are, what happens to you? You fall asleep in what it is he wants to try to do in your life. And here they're stirred beyond words. In other words, they didn't just hear the assignment, they got stirred. I want to ask you a question. When it comes to you, what would it take to stir you up? What would it take to stir you? Some of you watched the World Series, and you watched as these teams played. And an amazing, amazing story of teams winning and playing at an excellent level. And I was watching the fans on one of the games, and their exhilaration, their complete, absolute joy, that their team was winning was staggering. And in one of the games, there were a bunch of home runs. And the game shifted back and forth. And the camera would keep looking at the same people. And one moment, they were, whoa! And the next moment, they were like, oh, we're going to lose. We're not going to win. It's all over. And listen carefully. For the people of God, they did not ride an emotional roller coaster. They got on the train and took them straight to the cross. And I want to challenge you about hope. You want to get on the train? Get on the train that takes you to hope and ride that bridge across. And watch what happens when you do it. Because when you get stirred beyond words, all of a sudden, this stirring begins to occur when we yield ourselves to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. When all of a sudden God says, you know what, you can do this. And I'll tell you, I think about out in this lobby area, the different ways we can be stirred. From impacting a local apartment complex to impacting somebody who's hungry. In fact, someone handed me a note today that gave me the list of just all the different food items that were absolutely essential for the people to have that they need right now. And I got this list. I put it in my pocket. I thought, wow, this is stirring that we would, if I can find it, I'll give it to you. Here it is. Listen to what they said. We need urgent needs right now. Chicken noodle, vegetable, and tomato soup. Pound bags of rice, canned chicken, spaghetti sauce, and meal in a can like ravioli. I read it and I thought, you know what? Everybody can help somebody who's hungry. Everybody can take them a can of soup. Somebody can take them something they have a need for. And what happens is, when you get stirred, by the way, nobody has to prompt you 5 times when the Spirit moves you. No one has to say to you 15 times, you need to line up, get that done. You need to take care of that. Listen to this. If it's not in your heart, you'll never accomplish it. But if you hear beyond the words, listen to the cry of your pastor's heart. We must be diligent in this dark day. We must be aware of what's happening around us and seize this moment. We are watching as our world changes, and we have to be vessels of light. Because Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, and you have the light of life in you when you choose to follow him. But you have to be willing to, amen, you got to do it. That was a very shammy shake. All right, let's clap like we believe it, all right? This is one heart, not third heart, all right? So keep that in mind. When we celebrate completely. And every song we sing, every time we worship and celebrate, we never celebrate a person. Eddie's got an amazing voice. We don't celebrate Eddie. We celebrate Jesus, and we celebrate who he is. And we have an amazing praise team that stirs our hearts beyond the words of the song, beyond the words of the song. And I had someone testify to me just a week ago that the music speaks to their hearts in such an amazing way. It stirs them to tears. And it's really funny because she said, your sermons don't, but the songs do great. I mean, and like, well, it was so much for my sermon. But the truth is, if the song speaks to you and stirs you beyond word, something happened. That's the first thing. Second thing, not only are we stirred, but look if you would, latter part of verse 21. And everyone whose spirit moved him. And I want you to get this because this is key. They were moved beyond emotion. In other words, it wasn't just some emotional moment that stirred them up. They were moved because God was at work. And listen carefully. It is my earnest prayer for each one of us. And whether you're visiting or whether you're a member, you want to be in on what he's up to, let him move you beyond what you feel. Because the truth of the matter is, it's never easy, but it's always wise to be moved by God. Always. And what happens here is their spirit was moved. I want you to imagine for a moment. Every person listening who had a willing heart said, you know what? That's what I want to do. That's who I want to be. That's where I want to go. That's the mission I want to accept. We want to see this place. We want to see the glory of God. And listen carefully. In this dark day we live in, don't you want to see his glory in our lives, in our hearts, in our world, in our children, in our grandchildren? Listen, if we don't lift them to Jesus, all you have to do is read the Bible. What happens? It just takes a momentary decision. It just takes someone saying, you know what, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to take that step. I'm not going to go that direction. All of a sudden, emotions begin to rule. Oh, that person didn't make me feel good. I don't feel good because the pastor said I should be at church more often. I don't feel good because the pastor said I should pray some more. I don't feel good. Listen carefully. It's not so much what I say, but how I say it that gets across to you, I hope. Because if you're moved, I'm going to tell you something begins to happen. You get moved, and here's what you discover. Movements happen when we align our hearts with Jesus. When we just say, you know what, this is who I want to be. And I'm going to tell you what I love. In this very room, there's a girl who was a teenager. Listen, was a teenager going to Romania with us on mission trip 15 years ago. And her husband are heading into Cameroon as missionary. And here's my question. Did God not birth something that moved the Spirit of God in her heart, in her life, and in other lives to see what it is God wants to do? And listen carefully. What I love about where we are is God is moving in our hearts. We just have to be willing to yield ourselves to Him. So my first question is, are you stirred? Secondly, are you moved? Look on though, because it gets more interesting. Are you called, watch this, beyond circumstances? Are you called beyond circumstances? Look at it with me if you would. Because all of a sudden, notice what happened, verse 30. Now you can imagine, then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name. The Lord has called by name. I'm going to tell you something. He not only knows your name, He knows your agenda. He knows what it is He's going to do through you. He knows what He wants to do in you. He knows how He wants to work around you. He knows everything. And the Bible says that these two distinct men were called by name. I want to take a moment, and I want you to get this in your head. Because Bezalel was not just an ordinary grandson of Hur. Think about this. If you glance back to Exodus 17, what is happening? Moses is in a great battle, and his arms grow weary. And what happened? Who is one of the men who lifts his arms up? Hur. Now listen carefully. Bezalel heard the story of his grandfather. He heard the faith. Listen carefully. We need to bleed our faith to our children. We need to let them see what we live. We need to let them see what we believe. We need to let them see that we're anchored in that. Because I'm going to tell you what happened to Bezalel. He couldn't forget. He couldn't forget what his grandfather did. Because he was living as a result of his grandfather's faith. Every time his arms would drop, the battle would turn against him. But every time his arms lifted up, and listen carefully, when you are called beyond your circumstances, He begins to work in you in an amazing way. My question is, you begin to think, well, now, He called these two by name, but what's happened? They all line up. They all line up. There's only two guys called by name, and they're gifted in certain ways. And here's what I want you to get in mind. He knows more than our names. He knows our hearts. And you got to get this, because here's what He sees. He sees what others don't. He sees when we doubt what He can do. He sees when we question His ways. He sees when we're overwhelmed by emotion. He sees when circumstances come at us that seem to move us away. What would happen today if all of us said, I'm called beyond any circumstance. Nothing will hold me back. Nothing will restrict me from accomplishing what God intends. I'll tell you what you discover. These two men, let me tell you how good they were. They were so called that if you look on over in this text, look at it just a moment. Look at chapter 36, verse 6. So Moses issued a command, and a proclamation was circulated throughout the camp saying, let no man or woman any longer perform work for the contribution of the sanctuary. Thus the people were restrained from bringing any more. I'm going to tell you what happened. They felt so called, no circumstance held them back. They laid on the altar everything that would matter the most. And I want to challenge you today, what would happen if you laid on the altar? What matters the most? What would happen if you're here today and He's called you to become a part of this family and you yield to that call? What would happen if you've never given your heart to Him and you give your heart to Him? What if you're just like Michael, lined up on a bridge of bodies, 20 bodies laying there and you're number 21 and you make a choice? Yes, their God is my God. I tell you what happened. You changed the world. The fourth and final thing I want you to see, because they were filled beyond belief. They were filled in a way that you can't even comprehend. Look if you would. Look at verse 31. And you can't miss this verse. And He has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, in all craftsmanship. Look at those qualities. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge, craftsmanship. Watch this. What He knew was He filled them so their hearts would be full, but their hands could be used. And watch this carefully. God's work is never tainted by a human hand. God's work is never tainted when you carry groceries in to feed somebody who's hungry. God's work is never tainted when you help a little child learn that Christ is the answer. You see, in our world, we need to lift Jesus very high, because here's what He does. For them, it was the same thing He does for us. He fills us beyond ourselves to accomplish what we could never accomplish on our own. I want you to imagine what happens if all of a sudden you're sitting in church today and you're sitting here going, you know, wait a minute now, I'm filled, I'm called, I have a chance to be moved, and all I have to do is yield to Him. I'm going to tell you what happened. If you and I line our hearts up with His purpose, I'm going to tell you what you discover. There's nothing going to come at you to get you in your way. Your faith will be strong, your eyes will be fixed, your hope will be anchored, and you'll build a bridge that'll take you exactly where God wants you to go. My question to you simply is this. It's the most powerful question of the entire day. Will you walk on the bridge? When you walk on the bridge, in the lobby here, there are places to sign up, different areas you can walk on the bridge. You want to help? You want to help a child at Christmas time? You can sign up. You want to help an apartment complex learn who Jesus is? You can sign up. You want to help at the Good News Club? We need people to help. We need people to help. My wife was fellowshipping with a lady this week whose granddaughter goes to another school in another part of Gwinnett County, and she's saying, my children, my grandchildren, they need the same thing. They need to know that there's hope. They didn't know who Jesus is. And as Cindy was standing, I thought, man, we can change the world person by person, day by day, moment by moment. I want to ask you a question. Why would you not get on that bridge? Why would you not say, you know what, that's what I want? And by the way, were Bezalel and Oholiab, were they perfect people? No. No, they weren't. But I'm going to tell you what God did. He gave them wisdom, gave them understanding, gave them knowledge, gave them skills. And I'm going to tell you what, He's given every one of us skills. He's given every one of us knowledge. He's given every one of us understanding. We just have to say, Lord, this is what I want to do for you. So back to the bridge that happened 2015. They discovered those bodies. They discovered those bodies just a few days ago. And I was reading a story, and even Wikipedia tells the story of Michael Liega. Because for Michael, it was a defining moment of his entire life journey. Watch this. He was on a bridge that would take him into eternity, but he's on the right bridge. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. People are looking for the right bridge in the right way to experience what God intends. And my prayer for you today is this, simply this. God may be speaking to you. For some of you, you have to lay on this altar something that holds you back. You have to lay it on and say, you know what, Lord, I'm not going to let that get in my way again. You have to lay it on the altar. For some of you, you need to become a part of who we are. Say, Lord, I want to be a part of a church that doesn't just talk about missions, but does it. And I'm going to tell you, it is the heartbeat of who we are to take our hearts into people's lives across the street, around the world. That is the bridge to hope, and that's the story of One Heart. It'll be the story as long as we live and as long as God intends for us to accomplish His mission on this earth. So my question is this. If you're sitting here today, some of you may be sitting here, now, wait a minute, I've never knelt at an altar in my life. Maybe this is the day that changes everything. Maybe it's the days when you humble yourself and you say, Lord, I want to humble myself and let you speak to my heart. I'm going to open this altar up because some of you may need to do that. For some of you, you need to join this church. You don't need to wait another Sunday. Wait another day. You need to step into this fellowship and experience what God intends. Whatever it is, God's speaking to your heart. He's speaking to your life. Don't ignore it, because watch this. Who he stirs, watch this, he fills. Who he fills, he calls. Who he calls, he moves. You just got to be willing to say, Lord, that's what I want. If you do, God will do great things in your heart and life, and it'll change your life forever. In a moment, I'm going to pray. After I pray, here's what I want to challenge you to do. If you're sitting here, and you know something. You don't even know what all He wants to say to you, but you know you need to yield your heart to Him. I want to invite you to come and kneel and say, Lord, I yield myself to You. Bezalel and Oholiab had no idea how significant this moment is going to be in the lives of every person, but they changed the entire direction of God's people because they yielded in humility. And my call to you is, humble yourself and experience what God intends. Let's pray together. Father, thank You. Thank You for in this room are men and women, boys and girls, men and women in particular, students, who know something. They've heard You speak today. More than the words I've shared, they've heard the testimony of Michael Liega. They know He's with You because He let those who claim the name of Jesus be His God. And Lord, that is our prayer for each person here in this room, our men and women who realize that You have been speaking to their hearts. You've been challenging their spirit. You've been causing them to yield. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name You'd make them act in obedience, that they would experience what You intend. Lord, if there's anyone here who needs to join our fellowship, Lord, speak to their hearts. I know in this room are those who need to connect into what God's purpose is. If they're stirred and moved and called and filled, let them act on that. And Lord, I ask You to let this be a moment that we don't forget, where we seal our hearts to build a bridge of hope. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.